We are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is our hope, the promise of Scripture, that we have a Savior who is coming again in power and glory and majesty to reward His servants, those who are walking with Him. Good morning. Good to see all of you. It's great to have you here. Glad that you're here. Hopefully you can all make it in a couple of weeks to our fellowship dinner. Another thing that was not announced is we have some people that are interested in becoming members of the church, and so we're going to be doing a 101 class. Our 101 class, that is an informational class, helps you learn more about where we stand in the Scriptures on doctrines, on what is expected of us as Christians, and also what is expected of you to become a member of this church. You don't have to become a member of the church if you take the class, but it is informational. And so if you're interested in being part of that class, you might connect with me after church, and I'm going to try to set up a date, and I'm thinking probably around the 1st of October, but I need to find out from you what the best time is. Well, some of you have been on vacation. Last weekend was Labor Day weekend. A lot of people took off on vacation during that time, doing different things. Some are still doing it. Sally and I recently got out of town for a few days in the middle of the week, and some of you are aware of that, but we needed a break from the routine. And I had a few days of vacation still, so we took off. One of the things that I've always wanted to do was to go to Pie Town and visit Pie Town and sit down and have a piece of pie along with some food. And another thing I've always wanted to do in all these years I've been here in New Mexico was to go see the catwalk. And some of you are not familiar with a catwalk, but it is a little place down in the southwest side of New Mexico here. And I'd always heard of it through the years, being down in the southern part of the state. I always heard about the catwalk and catwalk this, catwalk that. And I thought, I just want to go see that place someday. And so we took off. Sally put up with my desires. She let me have my wish list, my bucket list. And she tagged along as a good, faithful wife. So we took off and headed down to Pie Town to start with. There's a couple little cafes and pie shops there. And the one we stopped at, they weren't serving food that day. So we talked a little bit and decided, well, let's go on down. We went on down to Kumato. And ate at a little restaurant there. I think it's the only restaurant in town, but it was good food. And then we headed on down to Reserve. And I've always heard about Reserve. Thought, well, I'd like to see what's at Reserve. It sounds like a pretty place. Well, it was in a pretty place, and it was cooler than here in Albuquerque, about 10 degrees cooler. So we went and looked around town. That took about 2 minutes. Wasn't much there. Sally did find a secondhand store with all kinds of old hand-me-down stuff, and she went in, and I stood outside in the shade holding the dog. That's what a faithful husband does, right? Hold the dog. And she went in and found a couple things she wanted and then came out, and we glanced around what little bit of town there is there and got back in the car and headed on down the road to the place that we had rented for a couple days there southwest of town. A marvelous little place, a nice little place. And then that evening there was a restaurant right next door. And so we went over and had a restaurant meal there, a nice supper. And then they informed us, well, we'll be closed the rest of the week until next Friday. Okay. And so fortunately, we took extra food along because there weren't any other restaurants anyplace close. And we went down the next day to the catwalk. And there's down on the southwest side of New Mexico, there's only one road that goes down through there. So we didn't get lost anyplace. And then we turned off on the one road that went to the catwalk and went up to the parking area. And then there's, guess how many trails that go into the catwalk? One. So we couldn't get lost there, headed up the trail, started seeing the different sights and enjoying the beauty of God's creation there. More so, I was enjoying it. Sally was not enjoying it quite as much as me, which I thought she would enjoy it more, but, well, I found out another lesson about my wife. And then when we got onto the walkway, there was one split in the trail. You could go up this one side, or you could walk on the flat and level. Guess which one we walked on? Yeah. And, of course, people had tried to make new trails where they wanted to, down along the edge of the river, the little stream, I should say. But half the time you would have been walking in the water, which for kids that would have been wonderful. But us old-timers, we stuck to the trail. So it got to a point where it was no longer handicap accessible. It got a little wild, and Sally had turned around and gone back by then. Well, me and Trixie, my little dog, our dog, we went on up a little bit further as far as we could until it got to the point where you had to actually walk through the river to get to the other side. And I said, I've had enough. For the more adventuresome, they could go on the trail up over the hill, and several miles of trail extended on beyond where we turned around and went back. But pretty much it was, you didn't have any trouble figuring out how many choices do we have here, one or two. And quite often it was just one. We enjoyed ourselves, and you know, folks in small towns and remote areas, they learn these lessons and remember them. You just kind of take advantage of what you've got available and do what you can with what is there. You don't have a lot of options usually in these places. I had forgotten that. I was raised in the country. We didn't have a lot of options. You did what was available when it was available. Most people live their lives thinking that they have a lot of options as to choose whatever they want, including their belief system. And they want to believe this, they'll want to believe that, and pretty much there's a group that will accommodate you. You just have to look far enough and long enough. Many think that they can just believe in any religion because they all end up in the same place, right? No, that's not what the scriptures teach. That's not what several religions teach. In fact, some are very particular about what they teach. And that includes God's Word. God's Word gives us the information that there is only one way to heaven, through one person and no other. Now, a lot of people try to change that truth, but it's not truth if it changes the Word of God. Truth can only have one consistent message. And when we look at the multiple religions that offer different things, we see a lot of inconsistencies between those different religions and Christianity. And even some of those religions have multiple inconsistencies within themselves. So we need to be very careful as we start believing things and make sure that we are doing what the Lord God Almighty wants us to do. We need to focus on following what the Bible says. In spite of all the attempts to discredit the Bible, a lot of people say, well, you can't trust the Bible. And many efforts have been made to discredit it. But all those people who are trying to discredit the Bible fail. There have been several critics through the years. A couple of them, more recently in the last few decades, you might say. The first one I was familiar with was Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell was a non-believer. He was an atheist. He didn't believe anything about the Bible. Set out to prove it wrong and ended up becoming a believer. One of the more recent ones is Lee Strobel. He was an editor, one of the writers, I believe it was a Chicago newspaper, and he set out to disprove the Bible. And he became a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Both of those men have written several books, and they are excellent books to examine the proof, the evidence that the Bible is reliable, the message of Jesus Christ is true. You can count on it. The Bible is the message of truth. Throughout the Bible, people are commanded to obey God who controls everything, even life. The Bible centers on one person. Who is that person? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Savior, the promised one, the one who came and the one who's going to come again, the one that we were singing about again. He says that we have two choices on where we will go at the end of our life. What are those choices? We can either go to heaven to join God, the Almighty God and Father, and Himself, Jesus the Son, or we can go to a place of judgment, a place of fire, what we would call hell. And it's described as hell, used the term hell in Scripture. If we don't follow God's way, it's our choice. We can go to hell or we can go to heaven if we submit to the will of God. Again, God doesn't force us. He invites us. He pleads with us. Choose the right way. I asked Brother Ted to read one of those passages out of Matthew that talks about it. The dragnet. Everybody will face a day of decision based on what we choose to follow. And let's make sure we choose properly. Picking up again in the study of the book of John, we're looking at John chapter 5, verse 25 through 29. You're going to say, well, I thought we read that last week. Yes, we did. But I want to come back to this point of we have only two choices. And we need to make this clear to the people around us. God only gives us two choices, and we make the decision by our actions. Jesus is speaking. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. The Apostle John recorded in the surrounding verses, we talked about the six witnesses that tell us that Jesus has the authority. Jesus is the authority that we must listen to. And He has given us clear, specific directions. We only have two choices on where we will end up. Will we choose the right way? Will we choose to follow God, obey God? Will we be consistent in that choice? Or will we disrespect God, disobey God, and end up receiving the penalty, the judgment of that bad choice that we make? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for hope and promise in Him. We thank You that throughout the Scripture You have promised the sending of a Messiah, and that He has come, recorded in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, Your Son, came fulfilling all the prophecies of the Messiah. And He conquered the grave. He conquered death with life. He has paid for our sins. And we can receive that new life. when we believe in Jesus. Thank you for this transformation. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who have also chosen to follow Jesus. We just pray that we would have the ability to share this message of hope, of life everlasting, with the people around us, and help us to clearly explain to them what you teach us in the Scriptures so that they too can believe. Guide us and direct us in these next few moments as we evaluate, as we take a few moments to look at this promise and assurance of your Scripture through Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. My first point is those who fully hear the words of Christ find life. Those who fully hear the words of Christ find life. Jesus states it here, those who hear His voice will live, in the end of verse 25. Ears that function properly are constantly hearing many sounds traveling through the air, and even from our own bodies. Have you ever been in, maybe after a lot of exercise, a lot of activity, you can hear your heart pounding? We can even hear from our body. I can hear myself make noise. So there's a lot of noises going on all around us, but we learn through time to sort through all those noises and choose which ones we want to focus on. And unfortunately, my wife says that I sometimes have selective hearing regarding when she's talking to me. Now, none of you guys have that any trouble, do you? And the really sad story is humanity has selective hearing when it comes to listening to God. Here He is, the one who gives life to everybody. And so does everybody respond to the voice of God? Does everybody respond to the message of God? No. So many in our world, and maybe we've been guilty ourselves, have closed our ears to the voice of God. We've closed our thoughts to the motivation of the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our mind. He says, no, don't do that, don't do that. And what do? We ignore it and we go ahead and do whatever we want to do, thinking, I'm going to do it anyway. I know better. And then we find out too late that we were wrong. Let's not wait too long in listening to the voice of God. Let's not wait until it's too late to listen to the voice of Jesus. Let's be fully alert and hear His words. Jesus alerts us to listen to a very important message. In this passage, He says, truly, truly, in the old King James, it's verily, verily. Was Jesus stuttering? Was He trying to figure out what He was going to say? No, that is not the purpose of repeating that word. He is basically saying, I won't shout it, but wake up! This is important. This is a matter of life and death. Listen to these words. That's what He was trying to get across. Will people listen? Some did, and some just tuned Him out. Let's be sure that we are listeners and not tuning out our Savior. In verse 26, we see that Jesus is speaking. He tells us, since God has life in Himself, His life also is given to His Son, and Jesus controls what? Life. Jesus controls life. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it records the creative, life-giving power of God's voice. God spoke, and it came to be. As we read the opening of the Gospel of John, what do we learn about Jesus? Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. He was with God. He was God. He was in the beginning with God. And we learn in those verses, verse 4 says, in Him was life. Jesus is life. Jesus is the life of God, the triune God that is recorded in the Scripture, presented to us, God, the Father, Son, and Spirit all working together. Jesus is that power of life that was displayed in the creative process and then took on human flesh and lived among us. And when Jesus spoke, did things happen? Yes, they did, exactly the way he said. His words could heal bodies. His words could heal minds. His words healed souls, because Jesus is God. He was the Word of God who put on human flesh to come and dwell among us for a period of time. Life in Christ starts as soon as a believer obeys his words. It's very critical, and we don't just hear his words, but we need to follow through. And this is the concept behind this word believe or faith. It's not just, I believe if I walk to the back of the room and I hit a light switch, I can turn on the lights. It's actually doing it, actually following through. Jesus explains in chapter 14, verse 15 and following that belief leads to loving him, and that loving Jesus will lead us to obey him. If we say we love Jesus but don't obey him, then we really don't love him. We're not ready to give to him. And James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 explains the necessity of a living faith, not just talking about it, but actually living our faith. And we must be actively doing what Christ taught us. And in that passage, James says, even the demons believe God exists. Are they going to be saved? Are the demons going to be saved? No, because they do not do what God wants them to. They disobey God. They reject God. They have their ears plugged to the will of God. So it's not just saying we believe, it's following through with action. Every dead person will be raised by the voice of Jesus Christ, Jesus says in this passage. Jesus taught about the two places of waiting. In the Gospel of Luke, he talks about Hades, that is the place for those who are corrupt. When they die, they go to Hades. And then Jesus talked about a place called paradise for the righteous. Even after we die, there is a division between those who have honored God and those who have dishonored God. But that's not the final end. That's not the final end. A lot of people misunderstand that. And you may not agree with me, but a lot of people think, well, when I die, I'm going to go straight into the arms of Jesus. I don't understand that the Scripture teaches that. But we have the promise that when he comes back, which is taught here, that we will eventually be with Christ forever. Now, we can get into that other discussion of what happens after we die at another point. But let's move on with the message here. We are promised that Christ will raise those who are his people into that eternal glory. The effective power of life through the message of Jesus Christ is displayed throughout the Gospel of John in particular, in the changed lives that took place. Once people gave their life to Jesus, believed in him, followed him, there was a major change in their life. We can experience that same power, and many of us have already experienced that change of life because we gave our life to Jesus. When you live for Jesus now, it's different than living for yourself or living for Satan. Our lives are changed now when we begin this walk with Jesus. The second point that we see here in this passage is that all who do good through Jesus Christ are promised eternal life. When we serve Jesus, there are good things to come, even better than what we can even dream about, the Scriptures tell us. In John chapter 1 and following, explains the eternal nature of Jesus, who was part of God before time began. Revelation and other passages describe this, that He is returning. He's coming back in glorious power and majesty, and then He returns back to that heavenly place to receive even greater power and majesty. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 20 tells us that all of this creation, everything around us, was made to glorify Jesus. And when in the final end, God will glorify Him even more. God the Father gave Jesus the authority to fulfill judgment, we are told here in these verses. Verse 27. In the first century, the crowds noted that Jesus taught with authority. Whenever Jesus spoke, He was different than the regular teachers that they'd been listening to. Jesus taught like He knew what He was saying. Because He did know what He was saying, He had been in heaven. And so He could speak with authority. He claimed to have all authority after His resurrection. Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Me. Where did He get that authority? From God the Father. God the Father gave it to Him. Jesus knows every person who has sought His life. And we learn this from John chapter 10, verse 14 and following, other passages as well. Jesus knows us intimately. He knew the people that were walking around Him. He knew what they were thinking. And He could even tell them their thoughts. The Lord identifies Himself as the Good Shepherd who knows His sheep by name. He knows your name. He knew your name before time began. Where does our life come from? It comes from the giver of life. Who is the giver of life? Jesus. Jesus is the one who gave us life. And so He knows us. He knows our future. He knows all of our choices. He is the all-knowing one with the Father. The God of creation has the all-encompassing knowledge to even know our choices before creation began. And it even says they're written down in His books. That's amazing. I don't even know what I'm going to do some days. And Jesus already knows it, and He's got it all written down. Don't worry, Dave, it's under control. You kind of wonder some days what you're going to do. Don't worry, God's got it under control. He has it written down. Will we listen to His voice? John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, Jesus knew all men. And He goes on to say He knew them before creation. He is the one who gave them life. The third point there is that the resurrection of Jesus from death proves His power of life. Death couldn't hold Him down. He repeatedly promised to give all of His followers this same life that overcomes death. And we are waiting, as Brother Bob shared, the days are coming closer. We're getting closer. Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. We may get to see Him actually coming through the clouds, or we may go to the grave. But don't worry. He's going to raise us up, and we will see Him face to face. Jesus came to set us free from the curse of death, but we must choose to follow Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And John 3:16, you all remember that one? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? everlasting life. God wants us to live with Him forever, but we've got to choose to follow Jesus. And then Jesus tells us that last part, all who disobey Jesus are under judgment to die. They're under judgment. And a lot of people think, well, when I die, I die. There's no big thing about it. No, there is more to it. The Lord already told Nicodemus back in chapter 3, verse 36, that disbelievers will suffer under the wrath of God. Now, just think about it. We read through the scriptures in the Old Testament, when people disobeyed God, bad things happened to them. Some of them were burned up alive. Some of them were swallowed by the earth alive. How many of us would like to have that happen to us? No, we don't want that to happen. And that was just temporary. Their pain and suffering in their physical body ended at that point. Now, from the Luke passage that we talked about earlier, the rich man and Lazarus, it doesn't end with death. There is a, what Jesus says, there is a continuing anguish even in the place of waiting for those who disobey God. So it's, if I die, I die. No, there's bad things coming, and God tries to warn us, look out. It's not a good place. Point A. The corrupt will be punished with God's wrath eternally. Eternally. God repeatedly warns us throughout the Bible that there is a dreadful price to pay for disobeying Him. But when we refuse to listen to Him and heed His warnings that He provides, He says there's only one thing He can do. There's only one end. He must give us what we have chosen. Death, judgment, eternal wrath. The second death includes constant torment in a place called a lake of fire. This is repeated over and over again in the scripture. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and other passages, Jesus the Creator describes this death 6 times in Matthew's gospel. The one that Brother Ted read was just one of those 6. Do you think Jesus thinks it's important when He mentions it 6 times? It's not going to be pretty. It's a place of torment. It was actually designed for Satan and the powers of evil, the evil spirits. But God says, if you're going to do things Satan's way, then the only choice He can follow through with is giving us the reward that Satan and the demons receive. There is no third option for mankind to choose. There's no third option. Verse 24, look at verse 24, which we did not read. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Do we want life, or do we want death? That's the choice. If we want life, we have to obey Jesus. If you want death, just ignore Jesus. Keep going on. Ignore the message of God, and He will accommodate you from your choice. But it will not be pretty. There will be death and destruction. Let me read a passage out of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. We find these words, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly wait for Him, We are waiting for Jesus, and hopefully we are eagerly waiting for Jesus, because He will give us everlasting life separate from all the corruption, evil, and pain and suffering that we experience now. But if we do not listen to Jesus, there's only condemnation to give. In John chapter 10, verse 10, as Jesus spoke of His role as the Good Shepherd, He said, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." He wants to give us life. But if we close our ears and disregard what He says, He only has one option. He will cast us into the lake of fire. So the question is, today, have you chosen life or are you choosing judgment? I hope and pray and trust that you will choose life. If you've been putting it off, get it done. Obey Jesus today. If you have friends, neighbors, acquaintances, share the message with them. Do you want them to live forever with you? If we care about them, we will share the message with them as well. Would you pray with me? Father, help us, guide us to live strong in your word and in your way, in your truth and righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. We pray that we will be your people in all things and all ways, that we will submit to your truth, your guidance in the scriptures, in full obedience. Help us to warn the people around us and encourage them to join us in the path of life that walks in the steps of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for grace and mercies that come in Jesus. Guide us in your truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.